like to join us, it's kind of easy to do that. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Renee's sitting here next to me. She's been working on cars with me for 44 years. Her fingernails have never been dirty, but then again, there are other jobs within the car repair industry that you can do.
Like try to keep you in line, yeah. But that's been a hard job.
Keeping track. You know,
that's right.
My rules, my motto has always been, if you play by the rules, you miss all the fun. And I think you'll agree that I haven't missed much fun.
No, that's true.
All righty. We're going to start off with the phone number, 602-508-0960, if you have a car question or car problem. But I want to tell you about S&S Tire first. They're on the west side. They have three locations, and they've been open since 1976. It is operated, run, and managed by a couple of boys who come from a tire background. Their father started the business, so this is actually the second generation, and they are really good, really honest, and are just absolutely full of integrity. So if you live in Peoria, Surprise, or Goodyear, they have, S&S Tire has the most comprehensive line of tires and many different brands of tires. So no matter what you need, from wheelbarrows to tractors and everything in between, S&S has it. They'll balance your new tires. They'll do alignments and suspension work. So you can stop by, and they'll look at your tire size, and you could say to them, I would like good, better, best estimates. And they're going to give you an out-the-door price. So write your check before you leave home, and that's all it's going to cost you. So four tires, four federal excise tax, sales tax, mounting and balancing, all that kind of stuff. That's kind of what you want. Four prices, good, better, best. That way you can decide on your own. And if you
Richard is your first caller. Richard.
Shop it, you can't. Mm-hmm. So that's S&S Tire. Richard, good morning to you. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
And since you mentioned them, I recently had two experiences with S&S Tire, and they were amazing there. I had a great service with them, excellent price. So I do appreciate that.
Well, perfect. Thank you very much for that.
So I have, it's for my father-in-law, so I'm calling in on his behalf. He's got a 97 F250 that had the Centurion conversion over to the 350 dually.
Okay.
And it appears as though, looks like the rear differential, I think is how he was explain that to me. He was having some problems, and we're just not sure of a good shop. We're out in Goodyear, so I'm just trying to find out a good place that we can take it to that can get some quality work done at a good price.
Okay, do we have any symptoms?
You know, I didn't really talk to him much about it. He drove it back from up north, and he just told me that that's what he was sure the problem is. He does transit, so he's pretty familiar with vehicles. He just doesn't get hands-on with them.
Okay.
So I'm just calling on his behalf. Just a good shop. Take the truck to that. Maybe we can even get it diagnosed.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, I don't know a shop, but I'm going to send you to a shop in that area, and that's a great question for them. If you don't do diagnostic work and repair work and rebuild work on a dually rear end on a Ford, then can you ship me to somebody who you would use for yourself, or who do you refer to? So I'm going to send you to Thunderbird Auto, and that's at 88th Avenue and Thunderbird in Peoria. And I can you read his phone number?
623-979-1054.
And that's Thunderbird Auto. You're going to want to talk to Tom and ask him about that. Has anybody else ever raised their hand for differential repair or rebuild or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking Kurtz, but I don't know if they do that either. So.
Yeah. If I'll give you a couple of others, or I'll give you two others. Kurtz Automotive is at I-17 in Bell, and I would call him. What's the number, hon?
602-588-2878.
And if you want to drive clear across the world, at Warner and I-10, there's a shop, my shop, that does differential work. And so here's the thing. We need to diagnose it first, because this could be a drive shaft problem. This could be a pinion bearing problem that would not necessitate a complete overhaul. This could be an axle problem, and they have floating axles on that 350. And so you can have a bad bearing on that and just, you know, pop the drum off and replace the bearings and put it back on, and you're back in gear. So those are the things that has to, you know, we have to make sure. And no matter where you take it, Richard, you look them in the eye after they give you the estimate and say to them, you know, I want to make sure this is a fix and not a guess, because if you're guessing, I don't want to guess with my money. And so make sure you look them right in the eye when you say that. And those of us that, you know, there is a time that you would guess, but not on the differential.
Right.
But there's times that we guess on other issues with cars. But
smaller things.
Yeah, a lot smaller things. But just that's what I would do, Richard. Call Tom over at Thunderbird Auto. Call Kurtz. And if you wanna bring it to Tempe, then the name of our shop is Salem Boys.
Do you happen to know, does Thunderbird Auto do diesel repair too?
You know,
7.0 diesel?
7.3 on the Ford, you think?
7.0.
Yes.
Okay, 7.3. Yeah. You're going to have to ask them. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of diesel shops here in town. Kurtz does diesels.
Kurtz does diesel.
On I-17.
Okay.
And so do we.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And Strictly Diesel
and
is up there.
Oh, gosh darn it. Let me tell you, Renee, here, folks, what we've got is we've got a map on the wall in the radio studio. And Andy put the font at what, 8 points?
Yeah, we might need, your eyes getting bad,
yeah,
we need to get it better.
I need binoculars, to, yeah. But anyway, give him Strictly Diesel's number.
Okay, and they're at 23rd Avenue in Pinnacle Peak, 623-582-4404.
And as their name suggests, that's all they work on. Now, here's the good news. The 7.3 is just a wonderful engine. And that's one of the very first diesels Ford came out with. And the guys with 7.3s can almost get what they paid brand new for their trucks, because everybody likes that monster motor. The ones that are after that from Ford, the 6-liter, the 6.4. Well, the 6-liter was the most giant piece of hudda you've ever seen in all your life. And then the 6.4 is a little bit better, but not great. But the 6.7 in the Ford has come out of the gate as a really good motor. We're not seeing a lot of problems, but the 7.3 that you have, that's a powerhouse, and that's a good strong motor, and very few of those need a whole bunch of work. So,
and that's why we bought it. So.
Okay. All righty.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.
You betcha, Richard. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960.
And I was just thinking about you talking about out-the-door price, because a lot of people will call around and they'll get a price, but they don't know really what it includes. Well, by the time you add tax and shop supplies and environmental, it could be 2 or 3% more, at least.
It's 12 to 14% more, because sales tax is 10% all by itself.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking environmental and that, but you're right. It's probably 12. And you told some lady the other day, you know, what is that what you're going to write your check for out the door? And she had no clue even what you were talking about, you know, out the door price. So
and calling around and comparing estimates is no good unless you have the specific list. Okay.
Yep.
They have a diagnostic of $65. Then they have the labor of $220 to remove the gas tank. The fuel pump is just the pump. It's not the entire module. Mm-hmm. So the pump could be $90, but the entire module could be $200 or $300. And then their sales tax, license, and shop supplies, and the total out-the-door price is $850.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need.
Right.
Anything shy of that is just a wild but guess, and it's difficult. And then the real problem is when you're bidding it, that you don't know that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
there's a lot of shops that won't bid over the phone anymore, because it's kind of like the YouTube guy says, this is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what I think about YouTubes. Now, this isn't very nice, and this is the reason why it's not on Sunday mornings. But you're gonna go to YouTube, and it's going to tell you there's some guy there that you've never met before. You don't know what his credentials are. He did not show you his resume. But he's going to tell you how to fix your car. So you're going to take your hard-earned money and you're going to guess based on some stranger's idea of how you should fix your car. Now, for the fun of it, I have been Googling YouTube for some of the work that we've done. I've never seen anybody, based on the symptoms we started with, hit the nail on the head. And most of them are just really generic things.
Right.
Oh, you have an engine misfire. Well, just replace all the spark plugs. Well, that's fine. But you have six spark plugs, but you have six coils, and you have six boots, which is the old wire, six wires.
Yeah.
And then you have a crankshaft sensor and a camshaft sensor, and that has something to do with it as well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and now you said you've found, too, that people are kind of playing around with the labor.
Oh.
So that makes it even more difficult to try to match it or get what, you know, it's going to be total when it gets here.
Well, the round figures are, is if you call and say, what's the labor?
Mm-hmm.
So if a shop says 2 hours and they're at $125 an hour, that's $250.
Right.
But some other shop says, and that's a terrible example because I should change the numbers on that. Let's say it's an 8 hour job.
Okay.
8 hours and $100 an hour because my math is better that way. That's $800.
Okay.
So they're going to say 8 hours. The other shop says, no, I can do it in 6 hours. But they're at $150 an hour labor. So we're seeing some people playing with those two numbers. And I suggest to you that the dollar amount is the most important thing.
Right.
The labor per hour. And I do know that there's some large conglomerates here that quote $89 or $88 an hour. But that's for the first hour.
Right.
And then they move to $144 for every hour after that.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. So, first of all, bidding over the phone is just craziness, unless you have a specific estimate. Now, many of us give you a specific estimate.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling you exactly what the $771 includes. So
right.
That's
and
important.
That's if that is your problem. But a lot of times we find that what people have been calling around bidding on is not even what their issue is.
Well,
so.
it's not. They haven't had it diagnosed.
Right.
And again, the neighbor told them that they need
yes.
a power steering pump when in reality they need a high pressure hose.
Right.
So the power steering pump, we're going to bid that or a rack and pinion for $1,000. And in reality, all it needs is a hose.
Right.
And the hose is 100 and the labor is 150 and the fluid's $3.
Right.
So you're done. All righty, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, we're here to help you, 602-508-0960. And when we come back, I'm looking for a service writer.
Okay.
And so if you know a service writer, I'm interested in hiring one. So if you are a service writer, then I'm interested in talking to you. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Secret Santa Club and the success last week of how we had with people that raised their hand. So we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is my partner in crime, my wife, who has been in business with us since 1979.
Yes, sir.
And she was helping me in 1968 when I worked at Ken's Broadway Shell at Broadway and Priest. She would come by and bring me dinner because I worked the three to midnight.
11. Did I know you in 1968? I don't even know.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, well, you were just like 4 years old
then. Yeah,
but
I can't remember that far.
It was a 3 to midnight shift?
Yeah.
I think it was 3 to midnight
yeah.
shift. Yeah. All righty, let's go to the phones. There and we have two Toms, so I'm going to just grab the first one, but the second one, you stay right there. Tom number one, what can we do for you?
Will the real Tom please stand up?
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
That's it.
Let's see, I've got a Honda 4-banger 2.3 I'm having lots of fun with trying to get the crankshaft bolt out. So I've got a long breaker bar, put a pipe on it, nothing. So what's going to be my next move from here? I don't know. Breaking it off would be even less fun. What do you think?
You know, I don't think you're going to break it off. I'm going to give you a way to do it. But I'm not going to take any responsibility for it. You got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So you put a heavy duty socket, then you put a big heavy duty ratchet. Hopefully you're using half inch stuff, and then you put a piece of pipe over the ratchet, and you're going to look at how the motor turns over, and you're going to note that it goes lefty loosey, and so you're going to put the bar perhaps over. As you face the crankshaft on the passenger side or the driver's side, you're going to take the bar all the way over to the left. You're going to make sure the battery's charged up, and you're just going to hit the starter.
Oh, my. Okay.
Now, I want to tell you something. That bar can get away from you. This can turn really ugly really fast. But we've done that successfully, and what we typically do is we wrap a big, you know, two towels or three towels around the bar. And then we just kind of tap it to make sure that the bar is up against something that's solid. And then, you know, we kind of, you stand there and one guy will hold the bar in position, but that's why you tap it first, is to make sure that it doesn't swing the opposite direction and smash your fingers.
Yeah.
So that's, obviously, we did that in the old days. Today we have big air guns that zip those things off in a blink of an eye. But if you wanted to try it that way, I would say 9 out of 10 times that will break the nut loose that you're trying to get. But you need a bar on there about 3 feet long, and you need to have that thing, you know, deeply seated on the bolt, and make absolutely sure. Is the crankshaft on the driver's side or the passenger side?
Let's see. It's right down the middle. It's, yeah.
Okay.
It's right in the front in the middle.
Okay. But the crankshaft bolt, is it on the passenger side of the car or the driver's side of the car? You said it's a Honda, so I'm thinking it's a front-wheel drive or not?
Yeah, it's front drive.
Okay. Well, let's pretend it's on the driver's side.
Driver's side.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you look at the driver's side, the bolt has to come off lefty-loosey, right? So the crankshaft has to kind of go right because we're going to hold it. So you see my point? So the crankshaft's going to turn it right, but you're going to have the thing on there leaning on the right, and so it's going to spin and take the nut. Just be careful. Just be careful, okay?
You scare me. That doesn't sound good.
No.
Is there any of the second choice?
Yeah,
second
the second
option?
Choice is push it or tow it to a repair shop and have them take a big old air gun and zip the son of a gun off.
That might save some body work or whatever. I don't know. It might be cheaper.
Yeah, I don't want the handle to extend up to the windshield, okay? Because if you could blow the windshield clean out of it. But I think you get what I'm talking about. As long as you put your socket on there and just tap the starter a couple times, you'll see which way it needs to go. So, all right.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, Richard. Or Tom.
Tom
number one. Tom number one. All right. Let's go to Tom number two. Tom number two, thanks for holding. What's up?
And I saved the best Tom for last.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why not? I stood up when he said stand up, but nobody acknowledged me. I just, and I'm driving my truck as we're doing this.
So. Oh, gosh.
Hey, I just put 4 new tires on my GMC truck, and because the 2 front tires were wearing a little bit on the inside.
Okay.
So I want, and I had it set up for an alignment this morning to do it with the new tires on it. And so I went there. And to the shop, and the wheel alignment was like $50. But now they're telling me the ball joints are bad. 3 ball joints are bad. You might as well replace all 4 of them. And I got no cricking or anything or popping or snapping. And it's only got 76,000 miles on this truck. I'm wondering if there's another way to check to see if these ball joints are actually going out or actually need to be replaced.
Well, You probably are not going to be able to set it up like we do on the alignment rack, but you could do 2 different things. You can have set the parking brake, the engine's off, the key's in your pocket, and you're going to need some help, and you're laying underneath looking at the lower ball joint, and somebody is standing on the outside of the tire, and they're taking their hands on the top of the tire, and they're pushing inward and outward pretty violently. And what you're looking at is that the bottom part of the lower control arm stays in complete synchronization with the ball joint. So, and you can actually sometimes feel the clunk with your hands.
Okay.
And first of all, I'm really bothered by your $50 alignment.
Yeah, that's cheap.
It was. I had it set up for Wednesday originally, but this company that did my tires, I don't know if I'm allowed to say
no,
well, Discount Tire. They sent me to this other place, and I went there. It was fine, but I didn't agree with what they came up with. So,
okay.
See, or wanted a second opinion.
Yeah. What works better is this. Most alignments in town are going to be between $100 and $125.
I had originally set up. Yeah.
Okay. And when we put it on the rack, then what we do is we have a window. I want you to put your fingers out, you know, 3 inches apart. That little arrow needs to stay in the window. So when we have it on the rack and we have the heads on it, we can shake those ball joints, and if the arrow swings all the way through the window, then I got to put a ball joint on it. So
okay.
I don't have a choice. And then in addition to that, we can show you how this arrow is moving out of this. You know, the arrow is swinging back and forth, and I'm exaggerating this, back and forth 7 inches, but the window's only 3 inches. Another thing too is we should be able to align around and get your inside wear taken care of, and that is because the top of the tires have caved in, if that makes any sense to you. So the top of the tires have moved inward, which kicks the bottom of the tires outward, which wears the inside edge of your tires.
Okay.
So that's a caster issue. And so what I would want my guys to do is I'd want you to shake the front end and let's see how wide the gap is, and they come back and they go, no, I can put that caster in the middle of that window. And then when I shake it, the needle isn't going to go outside the window. Okay, let's do that. So first of all, I have all the respect in the world for Discount Tire. But as you can well imagine, the people that run it are managers, and sometimes they may have a friendly alignment shop. And I can tell you other tire stores, oftentimes the employees will send their alignments to someone they know that's going to give them a kickback. Now you walked walked you up from a $50 alignment to what?
$1,200. $1,200.
Okay. Oh, I'd like to see that truck myself.
Yeah.
But what part of town you live in?
I'm in Desert Hills area.
Okay.
Carefree Highway.
Okay.
I thought I heard you say 23rd Avenue and Pinnacle Peak, so I'm like, I'm sitting there right now.
Okay.
I don't have any. I thought there was a place there.
I've got an I-17 in Deer Valley.
Okay. Yep. I'm close to that.
Okay. That's called Action Auto. They're on the northwest corner of I-17 in Deer Valley. Northwest corner. And then I also have Kurtz, which is I-17 in Bell, northeast corner.
Okay.
So those are two guys I know that will treat you fairly, and both of those guys. And you know what? I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Anyway, I got to take a break. Stay right there. If you have another question, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Let me do some business here real quick. Air Park Auto Service is the only shop in North Scottsdale that I recommend. Air Park Auto Service has been around a very long time. Nadine owns and operates Air Park Auto Service. That's a lady, and she's been around a very long time around cars, and she knows the difference when a technician is telling her, you know, left, and she knows right. So if you're a lady, especially a lady, who wants to deal with another woman or lady, then Air Park Auto would be the place. They're on Rain Tree, just south of Frank Lloyd Wright, just east of Hayden, and been around a very long time. As a matter of fact, Nadine and her deceased husband, Tracy? Oh, no. I just lost it.
I know. It starts with S.
Stacy.
There you go.
All right. Opened up their shop about the same time that Renee and I opened ours. And so we've been friends ever since. So Nadine's a good person. Air Park Auto Service, Rain Tree, just east of Hayden in North Scottsdale. Tom, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. I think, when you were there for the alignment, were you there the whole time?
I was watching from a distance, and then I came up closer because I seen him wiggling the tire or trying to wiggle the tire.
Okay.
So I came up and asked him some questions.
Right.
And then that's when they started telling me. And, to be honest, I didn't see the tire moving, but that doesn't mean anything because I don't know anything about cars.
So, all right. Okay. Now, did they hang the heads on the front wheels, these big electronic beam things? Did they hang those on the front wheels, or did they just jack up the front and kind of wiggle the front end?
That's all I did, is wiggle.
Oh, no, I'm not buying that. I would be very disappointed if my staff did that. I hold our staff not to the highest standards, but certainly to industry standards. They had the chance right there. You're standing there.
Right.
Come over here. Put your hand on the top, 12 o'clock. Put your hand at 6 o'clock, and then push-pull. You see that?
Right.
Okay, now, I'm going to do that. You walk around the front, and look at that top ball joint. Dick, 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 dick. Now, put your hand on that top bod joint. Feel it click, dick, 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 dick. Feel the bottom one. You see, you were right there. So why not do that? I'm not buying the $1,200, because if you got three ball joints there, I'll give them $100 for the alignment. But if you got three ball joints, that's $400 a ball joint. But I recognize that's parts and labor. So I just think we need another opinion. And it's perfectly acceptable for you to say, would it be a problem if I walked out and just, I'll stand back, and when they start shaking the front end down, can they show me what they're looking at and stuff like that? Because frankly, If you hang the head on it and you start pulling and pushing on the top of the tire, if that arrow doesn't go outside of that window or stays within the distance of that window, so if the window's 3 inches wide and the swing on the tire is 1 inch wide, then you don't need ball joints. So that's all there is to it. You just align around it. But if they didn't hang the heads, they don't even know what that movement is.
Right.
And they don't even know.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
They clearly did not hang anything on there. And, well, I'm sorry, what was the name of that? What, Action?
Action Auto. Yeah, he's a Deer Valley and I-17, northwest corner, Action Auto.
Okay.
And then Kurtz is northeast corner of Bell and I-17. Either one of those guys can help you. All right, thank you very much. Now, let me touch a couple of bases here. I'm looking for a service rider.
Right.
And I don't care where the service rider comes from. I would really like to have a lady service rider, but that's wishing too much.
Right.
But if you're a seasoned service rider and you care more about the customer's needs than my needs or your needs, and you're one of those people that would say to somebody, here's a list of some stuff that you need to budget for. I have put total prices on each thing, and here's why you need those. But the most important thing right now is you need an air filter. So here's your old one. Look how dirty it is. Watch when I drop it on my desk. It just sheds dirt. Here's a new one. And would you like me to install this? That's kind of what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Service riders in our industry, depending on what shop you are and how busy they are, they make between $35,000 and $50,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And it's in our shop, it's a five-day work week. So if you know anybody who's a service rider that's looking for a job, or you're a service rider that's looking for a job, I would like you to call my daughter, Andy, at Salem Boys Auto in Tempe. Salem Boys Auto in Tempe.
Mike is your next caller.
Mike, good morning to you. How can I help you?
I have a 2002 Ford Mustang convertible. It's our winter car. We live in Surprise.
Okay.
And when you're using the air conditioning...
1 minute.
And I'm sitting, waiting for my wife to come out of a store, and I'm sitting... You know, I've got the engine on, air conditioning on. I get a whiff of exhaust.
Okay.
In the, you know, I'm not sure where it's coming out of, but I can smell it.
Okay.
But I can't smell it now that I've stopped here at the light, at a light.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Your controls right now, are you on max, recirculatory, or normal?
Normal.
Okay.
Always normal.
Okay. We're going to talk about that because I got to take a break. But normal takes the air from the vent in front of your windshield. That air comes through the vent and is brought into the cabin of the car. It's cooled and thrown at you. Okay? But if we go to recirculatory, we're recirculating the car, air in the car. So the question is when you go to recirculatory, if you're going to go there, then you run the same test over and over again. And I'm willing to bet that you don't have the exhaust smell. Well, then the next question is the exhaust smell's coming from the engine, and as long as there's no oil burning or anything like that, it should be okay because that's a normal complaint. So I want you to drive it and make sure that it happens stopping and going and left and right, or at least oftentimes in the normal position. Then I want you to go to recirculatory, roll them windows up. On normal, you got to have the windows cracked because that's called swamp cooler. So the windows have to be a little cracked. But on recirculation, the windows go up, and I know you got a convertible, and I want you to drive it, and I'll bet you see the difference. Well, let me change it. I bet you smell the difference.
He has a convertible?
Sure.
Yeah, he has a convertible.
Okay.
All righty, good luck. Thank you very much, Mike. We're going to open up the line. Well, the lines are open now. 602-508-0960. They're wide open. We have five lines, so call in now. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is my wife, Renee, and together we're answering your car question, 602-508-0960. Let me tell you about Larry Harker's Auto Repair at 38th Avenue and Indian School. It's important because of this reason. Bob is one of the best diagnosticians that I've ever met. He's really good at what he does. Ellen, his wife, takes care of the front counter, and Bob takes care of the shop. So he's kind of a shop foreman as well as a technician. But Bob has the tenacity and coupled with the knowledge, the fundamental knowledge of how a car and a truck is supposed to work is the two best attributes that a diagnostician can have. So if you've got one of those cars and your story starts off like this, I've had it to every shop in town and nobody can fix blah, 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 then may I suggest you stop by Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue and Indian School, and talk to Bob for a few minutes. I'm quite sure he would be interested in what nobody else can find. And if you do it right, it's kind of like waving the red flag in front of a bull. You just tell him, I'm told nobody can find this and fix it, and he'll jump at that chance.
Yeah.
All righty, let's go to the phones. Dave, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. So I had called you exactly a week ago today about my 2000 Ford Mustang that the heater was just blowing cold air. And the first thing I said to you was that I had checked the coolant level and it was fine. So now let me say this. I can open the hood on a 1964 Ford and see everything and do anything I want to do, but I opened the hood on a 2014 Ford and I sat there.
Wait a minute. Listen. I can tell the end of this story. I can tell, but I'm going to let you. But and you know what? Listen. I should buy him and his wife dinner because I think he's going to admit that he was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead,
Dan. He might have checked the wrong fluid, huh? Oh, my gosh.
You're absolutely right. So when I was talking to you last week, I had, because the heater wasn't working, the first thing I did was check the coolant level. And I opened the hood, and on top of the radiator is this plastic bottle with a pressure cap on it. And I checked it when it was cold. I took the pressure cap off, and the coolant level in the plastic bottle was full.
Okay.
So that satisfied me, so I put it out of my mind. So 2 days ago, my wife calls me at work and tells me the car's overheating. And I asked her to please call our roadside assistance and have it towed home. And when I got home, I opened the hood and noticed that the coolant level bottle was empty. So I put a gallon and a half of water in it. And lo and behold, it runs at the proper temperature, and the heater works. So my question is, yes, I was wrong. You can take me to dinner. but my wife has to come. So my question is, why was that bottle full if the overall coolant level was low?
You're exactly right. That is the question, and my answer is go buy a new radiator cap. Now, let me ask you a question. The overflow... Wait a minute. The overflow. Okay, hold on. The overflow bottle has its own cap. Is that a pressurized cap?
It must be because it has the little warning on it: do not open when hot.
Okay, and the pressure tank has a hose that goes to the radiator, but there is no other cap on the radiator. Yes.
You know, I looked like I was searching for diamonds, and I couldn't see a radiator cap on that.
All right, and here's I don't have an answer why it was that way, unless of course. See, here's what happens when the engine's hot and you park it. We're going to push water into the coolant recovery jug, but then as the engine cools off, there creates a vacuum, and then we draw that out of the coolant recovery jug and keep the radiator full. So the water is constantly moving out when it's hot and coming back in when it's cold. So the radiator should always be full. So I would think that if you wanted an educated guess, that you would go get a new cap for that tank. And I think you're best served there, because if we're escaping out of the cap, there's going to come a time where the hot coolant goes into the overflow and it overflows the cap, and it could do that when you're driving. And then we have a substandard level in the coolant recovery jug, and we have a substandard level in the radiator. That's all I can tell you. So if you want to guess, buy a new radiator cap. You did a good job, and keep an eye on that. And you should see that when it's hot, it's got a hot mark, and that's higher than the cold mark. So it should be pretty close to the hot. Don't be too careful. It doesn't make any difference. It's not Riot. And then first thing in the morning, it should be at the cold, and that guarantees that you're moving water back and forth. Okay?
So when you have like a in an old-school car, like a water pump leak or some water leak, you usually have a circular spray of rusty-looking water under your hood and around your engine compartment. Or if you're leaking water, you have indication in your parking spot that you're leaking water. Or you have an odor when you're driving. None of that is occurring. So where would that water be going?
Remember, the overflow's hot, or the overflow's full, and you're trying to shove hot water in it, because the water in the radiator is expanding. So if the cap is defective, it allows that additional pressure to go out. Well, you're driving down the road. So I can't explain why you didn't see it. The best advice I can give you is put a cap on it.
So you think it was like steam, and it was he was losing it as steam,
maybe? It could have easily
maybe?
Been. It could okay. have been. But that's, we can't go backwards.
Right.
Okay? We can't go backwards to the hypothesis and try to fix the car.
Okay.
We can't go backwards and figure out this and that because a lot of that stuff can't happen
okay.
or a lot of the stuff won't happen. So I can't explain why he hasn't seen a leak, but I can tell him the best cap, the thing to do is replace the cap. But anyway, okay. good luck to you, Dave. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Brian, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, I have a 2003 Ford F-150, 4.2 V6, 107,000 miles on it. Back in February, I got a code. It was lean, bank one and bank two. So I got four oxygen sensors. I put on the two upstream, close to the engine, clear the code. It kicks the next day, and I listened to this station during the week, but never on the weekend, so I was going to guess with my money again and replace the two downstream,
Jesus.
But I happened to turn on the radio Saturday and found out, oh, there's Mark.
Yeah.
I never knew you had a program, so I called you, and you said, no, you guess with your own money, or don't let yeah. a shop guess with your money. You said, sounds like intake manifold gaskets. You were right.
Okay.
Replaced the intake manifold gaskets back in February. All three Felpro gaskets set.
Okay.
The bottom on the engine, the spider gasket, the top.
Okay.
Got it all done, cleared the code, runs like a top all the way up until about 3 weeks ago. All of a sudden... Well, cleaned the throttle body back then, too, with the throttle body kit. Come now, 9 months, 10 months later, it kicks a code. Look, now it's just lean bank two.
Okay,
so I'm
okay.
thinking, man, they aired that, so...
Okay, okay. All right. It takes... real skills and talent in order to diagnose an O2 sensor code. Only 25% of the codes at my shop actually get an O2 sensor. The fuel filter can be plugged and it'll trigger a code. There can be a vacuum line, or vacuum leak as you described. A PCV valve can cause a lean condition. There is the mass airflow sensor can be filthy dirty and it can cause a lean condition. There's all kinds of things that can cause a lean condition. So
right.
to continue to guess is just foolish because you've already spent more money than any shop I know that would have charged you to tell you exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. No. It's my turn. The issue is with the intake gasket, we would have covered that area with brake cleaner or carb spray or propane. We would have identified the exact place where the intake gasket was leaking, and then we would have pulled it and checked all of it for flat surfaces and put it back together. Now that you have a lean code again, but you've got it in one sensor, we have to go test the O2 sensors, and we have to create a lean condition to see if the O2 sensor is going to see lean, and there's nothing you can do to see what I'm talking about unless you want to buy a $10,000 scanner.
Okay.
So I'm going to make it run lean, then I'm going to make it run rich, and I'm going to check all four. Now, keep in mind the front two, the upstream ones, are going to run richer than the downstream ones because the upstream ones are in front of the catalytic converter and the downstream ones are on the output of the catalytic converter. So the upstream ones are going to be a little rich and the downstream ones are going to be a little lean. However, if you put them in the wrong places, I'll figure that out pretty quick. So that's kind of the important part of the process. I would think most shops are $75 to $150 bucks to diagnose this for you, and they're going to look you in the eye, and they're going to say, this is what you do to fix this, then clear the codes and move on. So if you want to do the repair, there's lots of us that will let you do that, but you just make sure we're hanging our hat on that particular issue, and you look them in the eye and say, I'm not paying for guessing, boys. I want to know exactly what it is, and the diagnostic process is supposed to provide that. I got to move on because I got to get John. John, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I've got a 2014 Jeep Wrangler.
Okay.
And when I turn the temperature control knob on the AC down to the bottom detent, the lowest temperature,
uh-huh.
I hear under the dash, I hear a tick, 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 and it goes about 4 or 5 seconds, and then it stops. Everything seems to work okay.
Okay.
And then I discovered that when I would unlock my door and open the door, it'll do the same thing.
Okay.
And I found out if I left the door open for a while and then shut the door, it'll click, click, click.
Okay. The only thing you can do better is when you know it's going to click, 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 lean down, put your hand underneath the dash, and I think you want to be in the middle of the dash.
Okay.
And so just kind of touch the plastic ductwork underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go into a shop and say, this is what's going on, and this is how to make it happen, and if you put your hand right here, then you're going to feel it. What you got going is one of the doors in the air conditioning unit, and these doors deflect the hot air or cold air to
like
the appropriate...
the blend doors?
Yes,
like, yeah.
Blend. And there's other doors in there depending on what kind of automatic temperature controls you have, but mm-hmm. the blend door is the most predominant. Now, sometimes it's dirty. Sometimes we tell you just let it go because in the summertime it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes we tell you that there is a reset procedure because the door has to find the open stop and the closed stop. And sometimes it's just a matter of telling the door, you're not seeing the closed or open. That's why you're click, click, clicking. So I'm going to show you where the open is and show you where the close is, and voila, it's fixed.
Oh. Okay.
So there's procedures that we have that we can make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I would do if I were you. If you came into my and you said, come out here, I can make it happen. And if you touch here, you'll feel it. Whew, you'd be one in a million customers I have that walk in the door and give me that. And you're going to
okay.
save yourself a whole bunch of diagnostic money.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. You know, it's worked fine for 4 years, and all of a sudden it just started doing it.
Well, they're going to find, if they take it apart, they're going to find a stripped gear in the blend motor door if they have uh-huh. to go in after it, or they're going to find some broken linkage, or they're going to find one of your grandkids drop some bubble gum down the top vents. They're going to find, you know, a pair of socks, all kinds of stuff. We find lots of stuff in the blend door area because it comes from the defrost vents,
mm-hmm.
pencils and papers and... I think we even found a pair of underwear one time, but I don't want to comment on that. I don't want to comment on that.
I could have known.
So anyway, it's just a matter of diagnostics, and I would say that you have about a third chance of someone having to dig that door out and two-thirds chance that we can fix it, or you're told to wait till the summertime, and if it gets better, then we're going to leave it alone, and you can choose that yourself. All right?
Well, everything seems to function fine, the air and everything. It just does that noise, you know.
Well, like I said, it's a matter of sometimes we have to just tell the door where its boundaries are at. So we plug in our scanner, and we say this, and the door goes here, and we say lock. And then we say here, and go to... But there's also other ways to do it, too. And so sometimes, and I'm being facetious here...
1 minute.
You go full hot, you honk the horn twice. You go full cold, you honk the horn once. You cycle the key on 3 times, and then you beat your chest. Those are the kinds of procedures that we oftentimes use. But I'm making fun of the procedure. That's not exactly what you need to do. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Strictly Diesel is in North Phoenix. I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road in North Phoenix. They're open Monday through Friday, and they'd really provide great diesel service. They do diesel service parts and repair, but you can also go to their websites 24 hours a day, and they have a complete list of stuff for your diesel. And it's all for sale. And they can talk to you about the installation, and they can talk to you about the pros and cons. So while they provide service to those of you that want them to do it, they also provide parts for those do-it-yourselfers. Strictly Diesel, a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating. And again, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Because I can't. Oh, there it is. I thought I lost the recording again. Anyway.
You really, 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 really need to apologize. You get a little wound up, and I don't even know if you knew what was his name?
Brian.
Brian. I don't even know if you knew what he was going to ask you the second time, but whatever.
All right. And you're right. Brian, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being abrupt. But can I state my case?
Go ahead.
All right. At the beginning, all we had to do was find the cause of a lean code. Okay?
All right.
Now, it's changed. We got 4 new oxygen sensors,
and bank one and bank two, you have to know what the manufacturer says, because some of them, bank one is really bank two, and some of them is bank two is really bank one. Then now we have to check the performance of 402 sensors. We have to cross-reference the numbers to see if they're the upside, upstream or downstream, because I can't tell you, the do-it-yourselfers and that three-whiskered kid at the auto parts store that just winds me up and just wads my underwear up something fierce is going to tell him these are the two upstream and these are the two downstream, and he doesn't know.
Okay.
So now we have this big fiasco going on where we've got to troubleshoot all four of them, and then no one's going to have a receipt, so we can't look up the part number, so we don't know which is upstream and which is downstream. And an experienced guy such as myself can't tell that without part numbers. Then when we look at the part numbers, it's written in Chinese. And we don't know an A from a B or a 7 from an 8.
Okay.
So we have all these dynamics going on where we've stepped out of the kettle and into the fire. And now we have a whole new problem and a whole new diagnostic process. We had a deal the other day where we got one of these, and it had four upstream O2 sensors in it. And we need two up and two down. And the three-whiskered kid told him, don't worry about it. They're all the right part number. Well, they're all the same part number, young man. How can I have two upstreams and two downstreams when I need two separate part numbers?
And those aren't cheap either.
And off, and they don't take them back either. When the three-whiskered kid guesses and it doesn't fix your problem, there ain't no refund policy there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so it's the three-whiskered kid. It's not Brian. It's the three-whiskered kid that's got my undies wadded up something fierce. Anyway, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by my buddy at Action Auto Repair, Tom. He's located at I-17 in Indre Valley, and he is capable of diagnosing O2 sensor problems. He's going to support me on this, too, by the way.
Okay.
Anyway, he's a great auto repair shop. He's been serving Deer Valley and North Phoenix since 1983. So no matter what you've got, from an oil change to a code, chasing down a code, then Tom and his ASE Master Certified technicians can do it. Now, he has a BMW guy there that's really, really good. And that brings a whole new dimension to a shop, because his knowledge of the import side is going to be very valuable, because in spite of the fact that Chevy and Ford can't even agree on which is bank one and bank two, the import guys have the same problem.
Okay.
So there's always that thing. Action Auto's I-17 in Deer Valley. I'm going to put my nice hat on and back to the lines.
Okay.
Paul, good morning to you. How are you this morning during this holiday season?
Good. Great.
How can I help you?
Say, I got a 2003... Dodge Ram 5.7 four-wheel drive. I live in Apache Junction. I just have been taking it in for oil changes, and they're telling me that my rack is out. I need new rack and pinion. I'm not losing any power steering fluid at all. I did have a power steering pump put on when I bought the truck in May. Other than that,
okay.
A little residue coming. I have no shakes, no noise.
Okay. This is where I ask questions. You say you've had no leaks and you aren't adding any fluid. Yes.
Well, I did add a little bit when I bought the truck. They put a power steering pump in it. And there was some residue, and I think when the vehicle got warm, it would leak a little bit, and just from the residue.
Cause okay.
They didn't do the greatest job, but anyway.
Okay.
They keep telling me it's leaking.
Stop. The leak means everything, and not guessing where the leak's at, but telling you exactly where the leak's at. So it has a high pressure hose, it has a low pressure hose, and each one of those has two connections. It has a front seal and a can seal on the pump. And then it has a left side and a right side at the rack that can leak, as well as where the two high-pressure and low-pressure hoses connect to the rack. We have all that going on. Now, what you should have done is you should have said, show me. Now, let me explain. At the end of your rack and pinion, which is this long metal device, there's two tie rods that go in and out. So you can imagine that when we're going to turn right, we suck the right one in and we push the left one out. That turns the wheels to the right. So they move in off in opposite directions. There's some big dust boots that cover the area where the right side rack and pinion goes in and out and the left side in and out. It's not uncommon for that seal to have a little fluid. We want that seal to bleed a little bit of fluid to keep the dust and stuff out of the seal and to lubricate the seal. So what happens is some guy who's hungry and hasn't had a big job in a long time finds somebody like you that drives in, and he looks and there's a little bit of a drip from the weep hole of one of these boots on the rack. And at that point, you're dead meat. At that point, you need a rack, you need a pump, because the pump is making noise and the rack is leaking and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you said, all I got's a little bitty leak. Well, if the little bitty leak is coming from the rack, that might be normal, and it's certainly nothing you need to have done right now. So the question is this. You need to go find somebody who will identify exactly where the leak's at. Because I can do a can seal, I can do a pump, I can do the lower and high pressure hose, and I can determine whether that leak on the rack is a normal leak, a small leak, or whether it's abnormal, and so can every other shop in town that's good and that's been around as long as a lot of us old-timers have been. You can also flush the system and put a tad of brake fluid in the system. That's a hydraulic fluid. It's perfectly acceptable. And brake fluid will oftentimes return some pliability to the rubber seals. So if they're a little hard, it'll soften them a little bit. So that's what I would do. But I wouldn't do the rack, and I'm sure they bid that thing for probably $800 to $1,200 for the rack, the labor, the alignment, and the sales tax, shop supplies, and environmental charges. I think it would be a jump to go that far. At least get a second opinion. And frankly, most shops will diagnose what's the matter with your power steering for a rack fee, which is what, $25, $35? Somewhere. Hold on. Go.
I wouldn't say more than half an hour, which is like $59.65, somewhere in there.
Right. To get it up on the rack and look at it, right, and then bid whatever it is. But take the customer out there and show them as well, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I would do if I were you, Paul. Let's get a second opinion. Find a shop that's going to take you out there and show you what they're talking about. Or go back to the shop that you had,
right,
and make them show you and point out exactly where everything's happening. But again, the leak can be fixed for a lot less than a rack if it's at the other parts I mentioned. But if it's coming out of the little bitty weep holes on either side of the dust boots on the rack, there is some dripping that's normal. Some wetness that's normal. All right, thanks, Paul. And Harry, how can I help you today, Harry?
Good morning, Mark. It's quite obvious to me that you need a Chinese interpreter at your shop.
Well,
that's right.
You know, it would be fine. I don't need an interpreter for the parts I buy, but I do need an interpreter for some of the parts that I end up diagnosing. So, yeah, you're right.
Okay. Hey, I talked to you a few months ago about some R12 I had, and I wasn't able to get down to your place because we're up north. A few weeks ago, you were doing your Secret Santa deal, and I talked to Andy, and I told her I would get that over to her, and whatever you felt that it was worth, just donate it to your Secret Santa.
Fine, I'll handle that. You bet.
Okay. I had a little dental problem, so I wasn't able to get over, so I thought about maybe getting it over next week. And
that's fine.
I can tell you it's still in the cardboard box. It's a National R12 30-pound cylinder.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
We have an identifier, so we're going to open the valve and sniff the valve. It'll tell us it's virgin 12, and then I'm just going to give you the going rate. I'm going to look at inventory.
You know, whatever you think. Sorry, still got the says, if seal's broken, warranty is void, and the seal on the top, because you can see it through the top of the box, is still intact. So
no problem.
You know, but it's been in my garage for a long time. There's a lot of dust on top of it.
Okay. It's okay. Throw it in the back of your truck, and if it's in a box, it won't roll around, and you'll be fine. So you talk to Andy, and Andy will take care of you. And then we're going to count you in, and we're going to get your email address and stuff, so we put you in the chain.
Yeah. But,
well, I already did a donation, and she sent me the receipt and everything for it. So
thank you very much. That's really nice.
Yeah, the girls are kind of ramrodding that, but very much. Thank you very much, Harry.
Okay, can I ask you a quick question about oil?
Sure you can.
I know you're an oil guru, And I've been noticing that I use Mobil 1 in my vehicles, and I notice I use the full synthetic. And I notice now they have one that says annual protection, and it's like about $15 more than the other.
Yeah.
Exactly what are the? Is this just a deal to get you to kick the price up a little bit, or is it actually a little better oil and a little more stuff
1 minute.
In it or whatever?
It's marketing, Harry. Okay. They have Mobil 1. They have a Mobil 1 semi-synthetic, then they have a Mobil 1 synthetic, and they have a Mobil 1 extended.
Right.
And the regular synthetic is good to 10,000 miles, and then the other one is good to 12,000 miles, but it's an annual one. So basically they're telling you it's annual because the average person drives 12,000 miles a year, but if you're at 15 or 16 or 18, then you really can't use our annual because we want you to change it to 12. Then if you look at the can, Mobil's saying that if you use our oil and all the time and you keep your receipts and you don't ever go longer than you should, and if you look at the moon every night and are blessed by a one-armed turkey, then if you do all of this and keep track of all the pictures and everything, then if you have a failure of your engine, and after we analyze the engine to determine that it's oil-related, because if it's not oil-related, we're not going to cover it, then we'll replace your engine. And all of that's written on the can.
Well, maybe I qualify for that. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe I qualify.
Yeah. So, all righty, but that's kind of a marketing situation, and I don't have any of my customers on a 12,000-mile oil change interval. I'm a little scared of that because they think that they can just their motor's now sealed and they can drive at 12,000 without checking the oil, and that's a bad idea. So I think we're in a semi-synthetic mood.
Right.
I think 90% of our oil changes are semi-synthetic.
Yes.
The oil change interval is about 7,500. 6 to 7,500 is our comfort zone. It's actually 5 to 7,500.
Yeah.
But our comfort zone is 6 to 7. And it depends on if it's a leaker, we're going to go to 6. And
right.
And if it's a newer model car, we're going to go to 7. And we're going to put the 6 month and 7,000 miles up on the sticker. But
right.
Thanks for bringing that up, Harry. We're going to take a break. And, Gene, you stay right there because you're my next caller. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Every Saturday from 10 to 12, we're here talking about cars and car problems and car issues. And it helps me out a lot if we talk about year, make, and model and miles and then the symptoms. I'm not really interested in what everybody else said it is. I'd like to give and take with you, ask you questions, you answer them, and do you smell this, and does it happen cold or hot? That helps me kind of hone in, and then I'll make a good educated guess, and if it happens to match your shop, then that's pretty good, and if it doesn't, then you can make the decision on what to do. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Automotive, I-17 in Bell. He's a great guy. He's like all the other shops on my best car repair shops list. He does it right. He's honest. He's dependable. He's been in business more than 5 years. He wasn't born yesterday, and he's got gray hair on his head. So, and he's also a master tech like I am. Kurtz is proud to be an independent, family-owned and operated auto repair facility, and he was a Better Business Bureau Ethics Award winner, and I think that says a lot. He's been around since 1987, and he works on both gas and diesel. And Kurt and Eric and Jeff, his three predominant people, are all ASE master techs, and that means that that's kind of a special designation because just not anybody can take 8 tests and pass them all at the same time. So that's Kurtz Automotive, I-17 and Bell. Gene, like I told you, I'll take you. How are you, and what can I do for you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
You bet.
I have a 2012 Chevy Silverado. It has about 72,000 miles on it. Just purchased this about a month and a half ago.
Okay.
And when I take it out in the morning, back out of the driveway, I'm in reverse, go to the forward gear, it hits pretty hard. It you can feel the truck jump just a little bit. And once it warms up, that's not an issue. So it's going from reverse to forward gear. Once it warms up, kind of goes away.
Okay.
I have noticed that if I hesitate in neutral or go up to park and then back to the forward gear, it's not quite so bad.
Okay.
So I don't know if this is something I need to worry about. You know, it's a new truck to me. It doesn't feel quite right.
Okay. I'm not quite sure that I'm worried about this because the computer is going to raise the idle up because it sees cold. And, of course, the last, you know, 2 or 3 months has kind of been cold. So I'm not real worried about this. Do you have a tachometer in the truck?
Yes.
Okay. I'm willing to bet that in drive that tachometer is somewhere around 500 RPM, And except cold, it might be 6, 650, and maybe even as high as 700. So I would expect it to bang into gear when you change directions. I would expect that to happen. I would expect that it would never do that again, providing you then put 1 or 2 miles on it. So okay. Once we bring the engine temperature down, we're good. I don't think, I mean, there's a lot of things that we could do. We could go in and we do minimum idle authority. So we're going to synchronize the electronic devices around the throttle. So we're going to synchronize the throttle position sensor, the idle air control motor, and what we call base idle circuit. So we bring all that together. I don't know that I would spend that money if I were you. I think your problem is going to go away once the weather turns, and I think it's going to get better after it warms up. And if that's the case, and you can work around it, I'm not thinking that that's going to cause you any money down the road, and I'm thinking that that might very well be something normal. I think it's more likely than not that it is normal, especially when you say, Mark, once it clunks, I drive a mile or two, I see the temperature gauge just start to move, and it doesn't do it after that, then I'm not going to worry about it. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good to me. I've had 3 different diagnoses, and none of them were that.
Okay. Well, I think what's important to me is, as you said, it does it first thing in the morning and never again. And we've had some cold mornings lately.
Yeah.
And so, and then we're still got a little bit of cold left or a little bit of winter left before we go into spring. But I think it'll go away. And I don't think that you should spend any money right now, because right now you're going to be guessing. And resetting minimum idle authority and cleaning up the throttle blades and cleaning the mass airflow sensor can cost you $200. And I don't think that's money you need to spend. Okay?
Okay, so you're saying the right things. You're not saying it's transmission.
Oh, no, no. It's an idle problem because it has everything to do with cold. And it's
okay.
Cold, and the idle's brought up because the computer wants the engine to warm up faster. Once the engine warms up, then the problem goes away. So this and the clunking, the abrupt shifting, is a direct derivative of an idle that's 100 or 200 higher than normal.
Okay.
So, all right, good luck.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Betcha. Let me talk real quick before I take the Terry. Secret Santa, Harry brought up Secret Santa the other day, or just another caller.
Yes.
Here's the deal. We've been doing, Renee and I and the kids have been doing a Secret Santa Club since?
Oh, I don't know. It's been 28 years.
28 years.
Yeah.
This is the first year we've made it public. And what we're saying is if you have an empty feeling around Christmas time that maybe you could have or should have done something different, here's what we do, and you're welcome to join us. First, 100% of the money goes towards people. We don't have any gas, any time, no expenses. We cover all of that. All the postage, all the wrapping, everything we cover. So what we do is we go to nursing homes and we ask the nursing home, we want to talk to people who have no family. We want to talk to elderly people who go through Christmas by themselves. So Renee and the girls will go talk to this person and identify that they need slippers and socks and they want their hair done. So Renee,
blankets, whatever.
What's that? Blankets.
Blankets, pajamas.
Yeah. So Renee will go to the lady that does hair and say how much to have her hair done. And she says $30. And Renee says, here's $90. Do it 3 times 4. And that gives her a gift certificate for Christmas. Then we wrap up all of her presents, her pajamas, her socks, her warm blankets. Maybe she needs a new house coat or something.
Yeah, and a lot of them just like stuffed animals. It's just kind of a companion for them or something. So we've done that a lot,
So we
too.
Do that. Then we go to some churches, and we say to them, we're looking for families that have been down and need a little help. So we'll do groceries. We'll mm-hmm. identify what the kids want for Christmas. We've got Christmas trees. We've got lights for certain families. But at the end of the day, we have a complete accounting of everything.
Right.
We have money coming in, not by name, but money coming in, and then where we spent it and whatever we have left, which is rarely nothing because
yeah,
we'll overspend, and then Renee and I will make up the difference. If you want to help, And you want to be part of this, you're going to get a final accounting along with everybody else.
Copies of all the receipts and everything that we've done.
If your wife wants to help, or your wife wants to adopt a senior citizen center, and she wants to find 2 or 3 people that have no family that go through Christmas by themselves, then we can help her too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to join Secret Santa Club, then this is what you do. You call my daughter Andy, A-N-D-I, at 480-598-1234. 480-598-1234. And you could actually go on the website to marksalem.com and get all the information that you need.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, for contacting Andy, yes. Yeah. We don't have the Secret Santa stuff up there. But
no, we don't have the Secret Santa anyplace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to know that this is 100% generosity. But we started it 27 years ago because we had the same feeling of emptiness at the end of the Christmas season because our kids had a lot. And we could have done something different. So that's kind of it. And last time we mentioned this, we had quite a few people step up.
Yeah, we really appreciate that.
And had some donations, and that's going to let us spread our wings a little bit better. But here's the deal. No matter what you donate, Mark and Renee match the highest amount.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends will try to mess with me, and they'll throw in $1,000, but I don't care. If the 1,000 is the highest, I'm in for 1,000. We'll be back right after this. My name is Mark Salem, and Renee's sitting here next to me. She's my wife. And let me tell you about Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing real quick. Since 1970, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing has been around in Mesa. They're the only shop in Mesa that I can recommend because they're the only shop that's passed the muster. They passed all the requirements, and they've done a great job for us. So if you live in Mesa and you don't have a repair shop, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is on Main Street, just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. They do all kinds of service from oil changes to engines. They do air conditioning work. They do alignments. They do all that stuff. But if you meet Brian and Thelma, the owners, you'll understand why they're on my list. They're very nice people.
Hey, real quick, on the Secret Santa stuff, I know you brought up the $1,000, but honestly, $5, $10, $20, $25. I mean, you don't have to do more than that because even if we got $10, sometimes we do these bags for the homeless people that go shower at a church. Mm-hmm. And we can fill a bag of those for like $5 with deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrush, you know, all that stuff. And that's perfect for them. So soap. So it doesn't have to be a lot. I mean,
you're right.
Any amount is welcome.
Thank you very much for cleaning that up. I was just trying to explain to them that my friends throw me under the bus every year.
They try.
And we're going to stand behind our promise to beat by a dollar the highest number.
Right.
Unless nobody better than a year. That would kill me. All right. Anyway, Terry, like we promised. Terry, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. Friend of mine is selling a 2000 or 2001 Mitsubishi for about $1,500. Got 130,000 miles on it. As far as the interior and the exterior goes, it's beautiful. It's been entitled to it. And I'm wondering if I bought that thing, potential problems I have that I should be looking at?
Well, I can't answer your question, but let me tell you what I think.
Okay.
I think any car that is capable of 100 miles without breaking down, without spewing fluid all over the ground, without missing, and that it'll drive 100 miles and then shut off and restart, and the air conditioning blows cold, I think that's worth $1,500. All day long, because that's kind of like a Bic lighter car in this respect. You buy a Bic lighter, and when it's out of fluid, you throw it away.
Yep.
So any car is worth $300, $200 or $300 a month. So let's assign $200 a month. Well, you got, what, 7.5 months, and this car's paid for itself in use? So you can do this. They make, most of us shops have what we call a used car get
inspection.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to tell you this is what you need today, and this is what you need in a couple of months, and this is what you need to plan for in the next 12 months. So we can give you that kind of a roundabout. We can also tell you, and we've said this before, whoever had this car just butchered it to death, and there's wires hanging all over underneath the dash, and we see fuses where there shouldn't be any fuses, and we see oil leaks galore, and this is not a car that you want to buy to depend on. So, and the opposite is we had a car not too long ago for $2,500 or $3,000 that was a cream puff.
Yeah.
And so we could hardly find anything wrong with that other than the fact that the maintenance records were missing.
Mm-hmm.
But all the maintenance had been done because all the fluids were good and the belts and hoses were good. So I think that used car inspection between $75 and $1.25
is going to be at our shop. Yeah.
It's going to be well worth your time.
Okay.
All right.
Wait.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And we've covered everything else. Let's go to Bob. Bob, good morning to you. How can I help you? And Dan, you're next.
Morning, Mark. I have an 02 Chevy Blazer, S10 Blazer. And in December of 2014, I had the hubs replaced. Okay. And they charged me $404 for a pair of hubs and then $263 for the labor. And then they went bad. I took them back to the same shop because they went bad last month. And then they replaced the hubs for free. They admitted that the hubs weren't. Can I say the name of the hubs they put on originally, or you don't want me to?
No, please don't. Because all I'm going to do is get nasty grams. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, they don't even sell that brand of hubs anymore. So they went with a better brand of hubs, and they replaced them for free. But they still charged me $264 labor to replace the hubs.
Okay, what warranty did you get at the beginning? And this was December of 14, you said.
Yeah, I had it in 14, and now it was November of 17, so it was just inside of 3 years. And I don't really know, you know, what their
warranty was.
All parts and labor, 12 months or 12,000 miles. That's what it says on the work order.
Okay. All right. I think that they weren't obligated to do parts or labor because you're well past the 12-month, 12,000 miles. But I think the fact that they did the hubs for you for nothing, that means they got them, they returned them to their vendor and said, those things are junk, give me a new set. And the vendor said, I'll upgrade you, and here you go, no charge. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
They used the favor to get those two hubs for free, and they charged you the labor. I don't know that I would criticize them. I think that they acted honorably.
That was fair, yeah.
And I think, and oftentimes shops won't do that if you're out of warranty and they say, hey, you can't make it longer and we don't make it shorter. And so that happens. But you know what? I think your shop treated you fairly. I really do.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and just like we promised, we're going to take Dan real quick.
Yeah.
Dan, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. How's your day going?
I've had better, but I'm happy.
Well, you know, you woke up on the green side of the grass, so that's a good start,
that's
right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, I've got two issues. My first issue is I got a 77 Chevy four-wheel drive car. It's got some goodies in it, a multi-port fuel injector, et cetera. Anyway, I got a 700R4 transmission that I'm having issues with third gear. And Bob's boys over there took care of my stuff. I'm in Chandler, but now there's not a transmission shop around here. I went to those guys around the corner from Bob, and I tell you, there's some characters over there. I need a good transmission shop in Chandler.
We do, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me tell you all I have to offer you. This is all I have to offer you. There's a transmission shop in Tempe that does wholesale work only, fleet work and wholesale work. He will not deal with customers. So I've made an agreement with him that I will bring the car to him. He'll diagnose it. He'll give me an estimate. I turn that estimate over to the customer, and then if they okay it, then I tell him to go ahead. It's billed through me. It's on my work order. And basically you have two warranty people. You have him and me, and he's been in business 100 years. I want to tell you something. Unlike any other transmission shop we've ever dealt with, this kid is the smartest kid I've ever met. He fixed a car the other day that nobody else had a clue on, and everybody else said it was a transmission problem. He drove it for 10 minutes and came back and said the speed or the cylinder select is moving. It's going from 8-cylinder, 6-cylinder to 4-cylinder, and that's the jerking you feel. And he says if you just put your foot on the brake and drag the brakes a little bit or just shine the brake lights, he says the problem goes away. And he was right.
Yeah,
he was right.
We had already told him that this is what a transmission is going to be and this is how much it's going to cost, and then it didn't end up being that, so he was really happy.
I think the repair was $230 or something like that.
Yeah, he's coming in Monday to fix that.
Man,
yeah.
So I offer that to you. You have to take your hot rod to the shop over on Warner I-10, and then we'll take it to him because he just wants nothing to do with the public. It's not that he hates the public. It's just that he says that there's a lot of time I spend that's uncompensated time. So he says with the shop, it's just a real quick deal. So all I'm going to do is say I got a third gear deal, and hopefully you'll write something up for me, and I'm going to hand it to him. And so then he'll call me back and say, this is what I need to do, or this is what I need to look at, and you and I are going to communicate, or my staff and you are going to communicate. As far as the turnaround's concerned, you're going to pay what I pay. So that's all there is to it.
So I mean, he's not going to give me the fleet price, but he's going to move it up a little bit, but it's not going to be list price either. So
you think he'd be pretty good at tricked out stuff a little bit?
Well, let me tell you this. Not too long ago, we sent a hot rod over to him that had a 200 in it. And the guy said, oh, it's just bad and everything else. He fixed everything on that transmission, and the kid calls me, or the kid, he was a guy my age, and he calls me up and he says, I'm barking the tires in first, second, and third gear. This transmission has never worked like this, and he didn't overhaul it. He just did some adjustments, and he put some new cooler lines on it, and I guess the bill was twice as much as my customer paid. So I wouldn't send you any place else. We're really happy, and we've dealt with him for more than a year or two.
Yeah.
And he's always pulled a rabbit out of his hat. So your contact would be my daughter, Andy, and she'll take care of you. But I need the car for a couple days.
Not a problem. That's my guy. My second question is the same vehicle. When the engine gets warm and I step on the throttle a little bit, the temperature gauge drops down and starts fluttering a lot. And it only does it when I step on the throttle a little bit.
Okay. I'm going to look at the connection at the temperature gauge. I'm going to look at the ground on the motor. So the battery needs to be grounded to the frame and to the motor and to the firewall. And I'm going to make sure all those grounds are there. And I'm going to do a volt drop test in order to accomplish that. But the motor rocking is taking away the ground, I think, or the motor rocking is shaking a bad connection. And I think your 77 has the entire wire harness going through a bulkhead connector just below the power brake booster or the master cylinder. So those are the areas of concern. I'm quite sure that it can be fixed. It's going to be one of those things that costs $80 or $140 to find it and a buck and a half to fix it. That's my guess.
All righty.
All right, good enough. Thank you very much. George, how are you? What can I do for you?
A couple of questions. Does anybody manufacture a single weight synthetic oil?
No.
Okay, that's answered. I got an OPT3 Nissan Frontier with a 5-speed manual transmission. It appears that the fourth gear synchro is gone. I can't understand something, you know, maybe first or second gear where the ratios are wider apart. But anyway, I guess maybe I'm going to, your former transmission expert evidently is no longer on the show, so I'm going to have to come and see you people about that.
Okay, now let me tell you something. There is a problem sometimes with the shifter itself. Sometimes we got to pull the boot off the top and pull the shifter out. And sometimes we find problems in the shifter where the ball on the end that's nylon sometimes is just worn out and it isn't putting forth all the way in. That's not an uncommon issue. So don't set down on the idea that this is an overhaul. I say you got a 50-50 chance of this being something other than an overhaul. Okay?
All right. Well, I'll come and see you.
All right.
Last item is phone number. I'd forgotten the area code, and I'm digging around this morning right now, you know, 15 minutes ago, trying to find KKNT online and this call-in number, and it does not exist as far as I got anyway.
Oh, right. Really?
So pass that on to KKNT.
Okay. The call-in number is 602-508-0960. You now know that. I'll pass that on, that they need to make it better and more clear.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, George. Okay, we got to talk about automatic transmission exchange because they're in Phoenix.
Right.
And we send business to them, but we also do transmission work. But they're really good at what they do, and they've been around a lot longer than I have, since 1968. Phil and his staff are transmission diagnostic expert. They do repairs and replacement, but Phil says that we do far more repairs than replacements. That may conflict with some other transmission shops in town who have it the other way around. So they have the ability to return your transmission to an OEM, original equipment manufacturer level, if that's what you want to do. Or they know that there's a slightly better torque converter or a valve body that might make you happy, and here's the difference between what you have now and what you have then. So they can discuss all of that with you. They're at 40th Street in Washington, the north side of the road, and if you've gone up and down Washington, you've passed them by. They've been there since Jesus was a baby. So Automatic Transmission Exchange, we call them ATE, 40th Street in Washington. Good guys.
Adam is your next caller. Adam.
All righty, Adam. How are you, buddy? How can I help you?
Good, good. I was just listening, and I've been listening to you for a while. But I just got a 1997 1500 Dodge Ram, Dodge Ram. And the there's a pressure gauge for oil on it, and it keeps fluctuating. It keeps going. Sometimes it's even gone down to zero pressure, and then goes back up to 40 and goes back and forth, back and forth.
Okay, let me ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, does it make any difference when it's cold in the morning or later in the day when it's real warm?
That does make a difference. When it's colder, it doesn't,
okay.
It doesn't fluctuate.
All right. I want you to do this. I want you, when it's fluctuating, I want you just to kind of sit still, and I want you to gently, not enough to break the dashboard or dent the pad on the top of the dashboard, but I want you just to... Okay? And I want to know if that changes it. I'm looking for a dashboard connection or not. Now, in the engine, there's an oil pressure switch. And the oil pressure switch can be bad, and that's easy enough to test. And here's how most of us do it. We pull the oil pressure switch out, and we screw in a 3-foot hose that's got an oil pressure gauge on it. We tape it to the outside of the windshield, and we go drive it. And if the oil pressure's fine, then we put a new oil pressure switch in it. The oil pressure switch is usually less than $25.
It could be
half as much as $25. But anyway, it's a cheap thing, and you can put an oil pressure switch, but it also could be the connection at the oil pressure switch. So if you wanted to make an educated guess, go down to the three-whiskered kid at the auto parts store, ask him for a name brand oil pressure switch, and once you have it in your hand, I'm pretty sure on your Dodge Ram, it's going to be right around the oil filter, and it'll have one wire to it. If you ground the wire, the needle on your oil pressure, with the key on, the needle on your oil pressure will swing to an extreme. So if you disconnect the wire and the needle goes to full, when you ground it, it goes to empty. Or if you disconnect the wire and the needle goes to empty or zero, then when you ground it, it goes to high pressure. So it's just the opposite. What you're doing is checking the parameters on the gauge. So it's going to be a problem underneath the dash at the back of the panel. So hitting the dashboard might change it. At least it'll jar it and make it work, and you'll go, okay. And so every time you hit it a couple of times, it works okay. Well, we're going to have to go into the dash, okay?
Okay, and you don't think it would be the oil pump?
No, and I listened carefully what you said. You didn't say anything about lifter clatter. You didn't say anything about any kind of oil pressure noise, tapping, clicking, clattering.
No smoke?
Yeah, so I don't think that you actually have low oil pressure. And besides that, I don't think that the fact that it doesn't do it cold and it does it hot, I don't think that that's good enough to go in that direction. But you'll notice, I said if I'm going to replace the oil pressure switch, I'm going to put a gauge on it. And if you left it for 24 hours, your shop will probably start it cold the next morning, then drive it to verify that you have good oil pressure from cold start to hot transition, when we transition from cold to hot. Most of us will do that. So that's how I would do it. And I think most of us would do that way. Most of us gray-haired guys without three whiskers. All righty.
Kurt is your next caller.
Kurt?
I got a 96 4Runner, and for some reason, it sounds like I got water sloshing around or gurgling in the dash. Just started a bit ago. It would happen when I accelerate, and it seems that when I turn the heater on, it would dissipate for a little while.
Okay. That's going to be kind of hard one. That's going to be kind of a hard one because there's a lot of things. One of the things that you might do is take some vice grips and put some rubber hose over the two needles and pinch off one of the heater lines and drive it and see if that changes it. You haven't said anything about the floorboard being wet. You haven't seen anything about steam coming up through the dashboard. You haven't said any of that.
Correct.
So I got to chase the noise, and if I pinch off one of the lines, then I'm stopping the circulation through the heater core. And if the noise goes away, then more than likely the sloshing is probably going to be because the heater core is restricted and we're getting a backup behind the restriction, and then we're hearing the noise of the high-pressure coolant coming out of the other side.
And if I bypass the heater core, then I can determine that. Another thing you can do is on a good hot day, go out there and grab a hold of both heater hoses with the heater on.
2 minutes.
And they both should be the same temperature. If one is hot and the other is lukewarm or cold, and you've asked for the heater, then that suggests a heater core that's plugged up, and I'm paying attention to the fact that it's a 96, so it's 20 years old. Now, just because the heater core is plugged up doesn't mean that you have to replace it. Oftentimes, we'll pull the two hoses off the heater core, and we'll feed 10 pounds of water to one side, and then we'll move our hose to the other side. But you do not hook up a hose to your water faucet and open up the valve and think you're going to flush it, because 60 pounds of water pressure will blow it up.
So oh, okay.
You got to take it easy on that heater core. And the last thing you want to do is blow a rusty heater core that's behind the glove box. You don't want to blow it up, because that rusty water is going to cover the whole inside of the car, and your wife's really going to be mad at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose so.
All righty, Kurt. Good luck to you, buddy. Thank you.
1 minute.
And so we wanted to say that if you want to participate in the Secret Santa Club, first of all, if you want to get a hold of me at any time, mark@marksalem.com. Mark, M-A-R-K, at Mark Salem. Salem spelled like the cigarette, S-A-L-E-M. And it is a good descriptive word for the witches in my family.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm glad it's by name only for me.
Yeah. So anyway, it's mark@marksalem.com. If you want to be a part of the Secret Santa, that's the easy way to get a hold of me. If you got a car problem, that's the easy way to get a hold of me. And if it's going to be a conversation where I have to ask you questions, if you'll give me your phone number and tell me what time's a good time to call you in the day, I typically will call you from my block cell phone. I do that because we have to have a conversation. So nevertheless, I'll see you next Saturday right here, 10 o'clock till noon, right here on 960 KKNT.